sing one more song. Amen. This song is called It Is Well. There's another song that we sing It Is Well, and it says, if it's well, you'll thank God it's well with your soul. Amen. So this song right here is not going to make you shout. Amen. But it definitely makes you look down inside. And again, if it's well, you'll thank God it's well with your soul. If it's well with your soul, you can know that you can call on Jesus and he'll be there for you.
Yes.
Amen. When you're not connected, amen, there's an obvious disconnect. Amen. And you can't have the same confidence that others have. Amen. That when you call on Jesus, that he's going to be right there. We hope. Amen. But if it's well, amen, when you call on the name of Jesus, he's a strong tower. Amen. And we're going to sing this song. And so if you know it, feel free to sing along with us. Amen.
Through it all, my eyes are on you. Yeah.
it well with my soul. The song says, let go my soul and trust in him. The waves and winds still know his name. I believe the songwriter was saying that every day Jesus Christ is saying, yesterday, today, and forever. Can we all just say hallelujah? Amen. We do bless the Lord and we thank God today for his goodness, his kindness, and mercy. Amen. We thank God for us here, Brother Arthur, Sister Ray, and the family. Amen. And them to be with us today in worship. We just bless the Lord. Amen. For all that he's done. We thank God for my wife in here, dressing her way. We just thank God for all of you. Give yourselves a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Now, I know this week has been a gloomy week. We've had a lot of rain. Amen. A lot of clouds. But you know what? We should have some sunshine on the inside. The songwriter said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, I don't have to think back for it. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and what all that he's done for you, my soul cries out. Come on, can we say hallelujah? I thank God for saving me. Maybe I don't have everything I want, but I'm saved today. Amen. And most of all, it is well with my soul. Amen. Our soul is the most important thing that any of us have. I know we treasure houses, lands, cars, and even relationships. But one day, every house you have will be gone. All your wealth will be gone. Every relationship will be gone. There's only one relationship that counts in the end, and that's your relationship with God. Amen. So today, is it well with your soul? We're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading. Amen. Which we've been covering from three different books. We're going to go to 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. And Proverbs 25, 14. Amen. And if we were to, I guess this would be a sequel from our last week message, Overcoming the Spirit of Fear. Amen. Fear. Fear is one of the most powerful spirits that's in the world. How do we know it? Just think of the things that you haven't done because of fear. And that lets you know, if you don't control fear, fear will control you. Amen. If you don't tell fear, you have no control over me. Fear will make you do something you don't want to do. Fear will make you act in ways that you don't want to act. Amen. So let's start in this first, do we have the first John chapter 4, verse 1? Amen. The scripture reads, beloved, believe not every spirit, but what? Try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Well, we have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome. That's you, God. If you're in God, you have overcome them. Why? Because, can we say greater? Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. We have overcome every spirit that's against God because of he that is in us. How many have the Holy Ghost? Give God a big one. Listen, when you got the Holy Ghost, that's God in you. Amen. And the Bible says, he'll be in us, he'll be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So my question often I ask people, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, how can you have life? When life comes through the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is. How many want to be one of his? Come on, how many want to be one of his? Then you need to have his Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost. 1 John 5, verse 1 reads, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God. Amen. God, love, God is what? Love. How, God is what?
Love.
Don't say that God can never hate you. If you do, that's not God's spirit. Because God is love. Is love. Amen. And when we love God and keep his commandment, for this is the love of God that we keep. Lord, I love you. So whatever you command me to do, I will do it because I love you. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God, John put emphasis on the world. Because the world will exert its force of pressure on you. The world
because God is not the author of
confusion.
And Book 14, 33, 40, 1 Corinthians 14, 33. So God is not the author of confusion. So if you're confused today, the question is, who has the greatest impact on your spiritual being? Is it God or is it the world? Because the Bible says, if we acknowledge the Lord in all our ways, he will direct our path. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So once again, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace in some of the churches. So I'm in church and I got nothing but confusion and disorder. Then you're not in God. Because God is a God. To know what God would have us to do when it's impossible to see God through the world. Do you understand? So the problem they have in church is so many saints in church trying to find God through the world. You can't find God through the world. The world system is a system of chaos. It's a system of disorder. It's a system of confusion. So God is trying to realign your life, and the world wants you to stay in confusion. If you read in Genesis, the first chapter, the first thing the Bible says is after God created the world, behold, the earth was without form and void. I mean, it was chaos. So what did it take to create, to change from a place of chaos to a place of order? The Spirit of the Lord moved. So you need God's Spirit if you're in confusion. Amen. So many people in church were still confused. Because we have not yet learned to yield to God and stop allowing the world to yield its force on us. And then 1 Corinthians 14:40 said, if you're in God and you don't want confusion and you want to do things right, the Bible said that all things be done how? Decently and in order. So God has order. Amen. Somebody said, I like going to church because they just do everything, but God has order. You can't just do anything in church and say, I'm in God. Can we say hallelujah? So Paul is addressing the issue of the church and the world. You cannot be in God and also in the world. The book of Revelation, I know we don't like to go there too much, but the book of Revelation in the 3rd chapter, the 14th verse, is saying you are lukewarm. You cannot straddle the fence of God, and that's the problem. We want the best of the church and the world. God said, either you will be hot for me in the church, or you can be cold for me in the world. If you straddle the fence, God said, I will what? Spill you out of my mouth. So the problem is we're trying to get God's blessing, but we're trying to go into the world system. It does not work. If you want God's blessing, then you have to do things decently and in order. Well, we know that the adversary knows that. The adversary knows, listen, if I give your life cause confusion, you can't get a hold of God. I know that's a good example. I tell you that's true. Get some stuff going on in your life all messed up. You can't even find God. You can't see God anyway. Why? It's too much confusion. Say, my mind is so messed up. I need to find God. It's hard to find God when you're confused. But it's easier to find God when you do it his way. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So Proverbs the 25th chapter, the 14th verse says, whoso boasts himself of a, we're living in a time where everybody's telling you how to get to God, but they're not telling you the truth. Whosoever boasts himself of a false gift is like what?
Clouds and wind without rain.
Right? You know what it's saying? You just nothing but a bunch of hot air. That's what it means. So a lot of people is telling you how to get to God, and they're not in God. How can you help me till you help yourself first? So a lot of people say, I can do this, I can do that. And then as we said last week, you know what the greatest enemy to any of us going forward in God, walking by faith and not by sight, the greatest enemy is fear. Fear controls. Fear dominates. You say, well, I want to testify. Why did you testify? I was afraid. God called me to do something. I wanted to do it for God, but I was afraid. So fear is a false gift.
Amen. And the acronyms for fear, we went over this before. Fear is false, F, evidence, E, appearing, A, reading. That's what fear is. So the devil uses false evidence to appear real. Well, why? And this is where we're going to get our message. Because you can't let the enemy intimidate you. Don't let the enemy intimidate you. Well, how does he intimidate you? Every time you want to do something for God, you get afraid. You allow fear to control you. You allow fear to dominate you. So, well, we're going to have such a second big testimony service. I can't do that. I'm afraid. That is not of God. Can we say hallelujah? The Bible says God has not given the church the spirit of fear, but what? Love, power, and a sound mind. So right now, if you do your own personal assessment, what is governing your life? Is it God's spirit or is it fear? What's controlling what you do? Is it God's spirit or is it fear? In the back of your mind, you say, I know what God says do, but I'm afraid. So I won't step out of faith and trust God because of fear. So the devil uses fear to intimidate us. Well, how many know the Lord is fighting your battles? How many know the Lord is fighting your battles? God is fighting your battles. So don't allow the devil to back you in to a corner. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11 chapter. Fear. Now, who has all power?
God.
Right? When Jesus rose, he said, all power in heaven and in earth is given to me. So, in our logical mind, if we fear something, we should fear something that has what? Some power?
All power.
All power. So the devil knows that if the church, you know, in God like they ought to be, the weapon is God is going to prosper. The devil knows that he has no advantage over the child of God. So now he has to give false evidence to appear real. He has to give a false sense to make you think that he has some power, but God has all power. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that I don't have to no longer go by the fear. Hallelujah. Amen. Because God has all power. I don't know, Gracie, y'all sing that song about fear no longer. I'm no longer a slave. I'm no longer a slave to what? What's the rest of it? I'm a child of God. I wonder today, how many of us are a child of God or are we a slave to fear? Amen. I don't think we're a slave. I'm still preaching. Because you can't allow fear to control you. Now, it's important when we know how many of God has spoken some stuff into your spirit. I'm not talking about guessing. You know what God has spoken into your life and your spirit. But you're not walking in it because of fear. So these are the devil's tactics. He said, why are you going to start all over again? You failed every time you started before. So why start again? That is fear. Because I heard Paul say, I can do all things through Christ. Now the problem is, are you in Christ or are you yourself? Because in yourself, but in Christ you can do all things. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So 2 Corinthians 11 chapter verse 3, Paul is still trying to get the church stop being so fearful. Why are you afraid? Hope thou not in God? Why are you back to yourself? Allow the adversary to intimidate you. We know what intimidation is? Fear. Controlling. I tell y'all a story about me. Y'all don't listen up if I tell y'all a story about me. When I was in elementary school, about 10 years ago, I was in elementary school. How many years ago? Well, I was in elementary school, and we had this kid. Now, I've always been kind of big. This kid was real small. But this little kid, his name was Shane, and I was his last name because he might want sis. I don't know what we have to do. His name was Shane. He was a little guy. Well, Shane had one of those eyes, but my eyes get like that a lot now. Thank you, Jesus. But Shane would look at you one way, and the other eye would be looking the other way, so everybody was afraid of Shane. Shane intimidated you. Big. He was a little guy. Remember, I remember a little guy used to run the school when we were in the What, boo? I'm already hurt. Oh, you can't move. You can't beat me now. You're worse than a stick that hurt me. You know, from that day forward, she ain't never bullied me anymore. She was nothing but a bunch of hot air. But he used his techniques to intimidate me. And I never forgot that. I said, like, wait a minute, this guy, just because I stood up to him, he backed up? Like, just like, remember, all y'all, how many of y'all watch boxing? Well, y'all, all y'all from New York, you know, Tyson is from King's, Catskill, so all y'all know about Tyson. Tyson beat all of his opponents before he even threw a punch. Because he did what? He intimidated. So he doing all that crazy stuff, looking crazy, and he's like, that guy's crazy. Right? So before he even threw a punch, everybody was already running because he had did what? Intimidated him. Right? And then all of a sudden he came into Holyfield. Holyfield believed in God. Holyfield said, I'm not afraid of you. Right? Y'all know? Goliath had confidence in himself. The children of Israel and Saul also had confidence in God, but they allowed themselves to be intimidated. By who? Goliath. They allowed themselves. So I'm going to skip the portion of this. Verse 1 of this 17th chapter. You all still with me? I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. We need to tell that to ourselves every day. Every day the devil tries to manipulate or intimidate us, they say, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Amen. And you know what? The greatest fears that we have is relationships. Don't let your relationship exert more pressure on you than God. Can we say hallelujah? We have a guy out here, David had to overcome the intimidation even of his relatives. Amen. First one reads, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Succoth, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Shamoth and Azekah at Ephrathah. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the valley in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood in mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the other side, and that was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. If you really figure it out, he was 9'9", and if you use numerology, 9 plus 9 equals 18, 18 divided by 3 equals 6, 6, 6. So, Goliath was the type of the Antichrist, right? Because the Antichrist already exists, all right? Throw that in your back of your books and study it later. Let's keep going. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of his coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and had graves of brass upon his legs, and a tarnish of brass upon his shoulder, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels. In essence, his whole, this is how powerful and big Goliath was. All of his armor weighed over 200 pounds when he was wearing. Amen. So let's just skip down a little further. In the 16th verse, it says that the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented themselves. And we went over this in Bible class for those who were there. When you see the number 40, that signifies a transition. That signifies it's going to be a spiritual change. So for 40 days, the lion presented himself. And the children of Israel and Saul did nothing. But on the 40th day, God had a ram in the bush. God had a champion. God was about to transition from fear to faith. God was about to transition from intimidation to victory. Why? After 40 days, he said, God said, now you know what you need after 40 days. I'm about to bring about a change. Amen. So the 25th verse said, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? Verse 26 said, and David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man? Amen. David said, go tell Saul, I will fight this Philistine. Amen. Why? He said, because I'm not fighting in David's strength. He said, but I'm going against the lion in the name of the Lord. I'm going against the lion in the power of God. Well, I don't care how big he is. He said, I'm fighting because I know that in the end, the Lord will be fighting my battle for me. He said, I'm not afraid. So when David sent the message back, the first thing he had to overcome was the intimidation from his brother Eliab.
Right?
Because his brother Eliab humiliated him before the whole army. He said, and then after he got past it, Eliab begins to Saul. He said, thy servant will go out and fight against this uncircumcised Philistine. I'm not fighting for David's name, but I'm going to fight in the And he threw behind me is great. Do you know anyone so seen? He that's behind me is. He said, well, you know, the reputation is people that's been in this position y'all came out before. I don't know what their relationship was with God. I'm in this position, but I know who God is. So I know that God will deliver me. My question today for all of us to consider, how many of us have been shrinking back in the shadows because of fear? I failed before, I tried. Listen, with God, you don't have to worry about doing anything. God will fight your battles. Be still and let God fight your battles. Amen. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord. You think the Lord died for you not to make it? The Lord died for us all to make it. But you have to commit yourself to God, just as David did.